Just like an aver min hachai, a limb which separated from an animal whilst the animal was still alive is a source of impurity, so too it is learnt from psukim that a limb which was separated from a human being whilst he was still alive is also a source of impurity. When talking about the impurity of a dead human being, the Torah gives an example of somebody who was killed by a sword, or somebody who died. Now, there's no difference about how the person died in regards to whether he's a source of impurity or not. And that leads us to understanding that the example of somebody who was killed by a sword is not necessarily only referring to somebody who was killed by a sword, but even a limb which separated from a person, which is usually done by a sword, that limb, which is so to speak, has died, it has been separated from the alive human being, that would be a source of impurity. However, it has to be similar somewhat to somebody who has died, and therefore, a limb made up of flesh and bones and sinews together, that's what halachically defines a real limb, as opposed to just being bosar, flesh. If either of those have been cut from the person, however, they're still dangling off the person and they have not separated fully. They have separated from the body enough that it is impossible to restitch it to the body such that it will rejuvenate and grow together with the body again. However, it has not yet separated entirely, and as such, tahirin, they would still be pure and they would not be considered a source of impurity. Now, mesa adam, if the person dies, in general, any piece of flesh or limb which came from a dead body would be a source of impurity, just like the dead body itself. However, in this case, that the limb or the flesh was dangling off of the body already at the time of the death of the person, we have a concept of nipple. Miso oiso nipple, that at the time of the death, we view it as if the limb or the flesh which was dangling off the body separated from the body one moment before the death, and therefore this has the status of something, flesh or a limb which is separated from an alive person, and as such, habosar tahar, the flesh would be pure, because flesh by itself, which separated from an alive person, is not a source of impurity. Only ho'ever, a limb which separated in that fashion, metame mishrum ever menachai, it would be a source of impurity with the laws of a limb which separated from an alive person, the inner metame mishrum ever menameis, but it does not serve as a source of impurity with the laws of a limb which separated from a dead person. There are two possible differences between a limb which separated from a dead person and a limb which separated from an alive person, and that is if a kazayas, the size of an olive of flesh, which separates from a limb which came off of a dead person, that by itself, even though it's only the flesh now, since it's separated from a limb from a dead body, it would be a source of impurity by itself, whereas if it's separated from a limb of an alive person, then it would not be a source of impurity. Alternatively, a small piece of bone the size of a kernel of barley, if that's separated from a limb from a dead person, it would be a source of impurity, whereas if it came from a limb of an alive person, it would not be a source of impurity. So the Gemara is at doubt as to which one of these two differences this opinion of the Mishnah holds of. The Gemara knows that it's only one of them, but the Gemara is unsure. To Rav Meir, that is the opinion of Rav Meir. However, Rav Shimon Mataher, Rav Shimon says that it is pure. Now, Rav Shimon certainly agrees with the concept of miso oiso nipple, and that this is considered to be a limb which separated from an alive person. However, Rav Shimon is of the opinion that in both of these cases, be it a piece of flesh the size of an olive which separates from an alive limb, from a limb which separated from an alive person, or a bone the size of a kernel of barley, both of these things which separate from a limb of an alive person would not be a source of impurity. Whereas Reb Meir holds that one of them would, just the Gemara is unsure which one of those. Perek Yud Mishnah Aleph. The subject of this perek, a relatively short perek, is what is known as matonis. Matonis literally means gifts. And although in total there are 24 different types of gifts which one needs to give to Koyanim, or which could possibly end up being given to Koyanim, the ones which are known as Matonis gifts is the focus of this perek. And that is, if one slaughters a domestic animal, for example a cow or a sheep or a goat, then he is obligated to give certain parts of the animal to a Koyan. Which parts? Hazroya, the front leg, the halachoyayim, and the jaws of the animal, the hakeva, and the stomach. This is referring to one of the four stomachs which any animal which chews the kad has. The keva is the final one of those four stomachs. Be it as it may, there's a roya halachoyayim, the keva, the front leg, the jaws, and the fourth stomach. One is obligated to give to a kohen when he slaughters a regular domestic animal in order to eat. Nagin ba'aretz v'chutz la'aretz. This applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael, just like any mitzvah which is not dependent upon that which grew from the ground. Bifnei abayis, which lebifnei abayis, it applies both when the Beis HaMikdosh stands and when it does not stand b'chulin. It applies specifically to non-holy animals, which one is slaughtering in order to eat for himself as a regular meal. But it does not apply to an animal which is a korban. And the Mishnah elaborates on this point, because Shehoya Badin, it could have been argued the following Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer is an argument of all the more so, as the Mishnah will now explain. If chulin, which is regular non-holy animals which are being slaughtered, and there's no obligation of giving the breast of the animal or the thigh of the animal to a kohen. Certainly no such obligation regarding a non-holy animal, and yet, chayovim b'matonos, they are obligated in these matonos in the zeroya lechayim, the keva, the front leg, the jaws, and the stomach. So, kodshim, korbonos, and referring over here to korbonos shalomim, shechayovim b'chaziv o'shoik, which are obligated in the breast and the thigh, meaning these need to be given to the kohanim for them to be able to eat. In the Dinshachem Matonos, is it not all the more so that they should be obligated in these other gifts of the Zeraya Lechayim, the Keva? You see that even non-holy items which have less of an obligation, as proven from the fact that you don't need to give the breast and the thigh to the Kohanim for a regular non-holy animal, and yet you still are obligated to give different gifts, so all the more so in a case where you are obligated to give the breast and the thigh, you should be obligated to give these other gifts, Talmud Lomar, so therefore the Pasuk teaches otherwise when talking about the obligation to give the breast and the thigh of a korban shalomim to the kohanim. The Torah says, "Vo'etein oisom l'aron hakohen olavon av l'chok olam," and I, Hashem, will give them, referring to the breast and the thigh of the animal, to Aaron the kohen and to his children and descendants for a eternal law. We see that the Torah is making a point of saying that it's specifically those things which I'm giving to them forever. So they only deserve that which is said in that part of the Torah, but not other things which I would have learnt, perhaps, from a logical argument that they should receive. Mr. Bates, there are two different types of holiness, or different statuses of a item which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdosh. It can possibly be considered something which has kedushas haguf, that the item itself is intrinsically holy, and that refers to a korban or oil or wine, something which is going to be used as part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash, that item itself. So when you designate, let's say, oil to be used for certain korbanos, certain sacrifices, perhaps to be mixed with flour, since that oil is supposed to be used itself as part of the process of a particular korban in the Beis HaMikdash, it has kedushas haguf, intrinsic holiness, and therefore it cannot be redeemed. One is not able to transfer the holiness from that item onto money and then spend that money on buying a different replacement for that, because the item itself contains within it intrinsic holiness. On the other hand, there are certain items which one can designate to the Beis HaMikdash, which are not going to be used as part of the service itself. And therefore, already originally, at the time of the designation, the intent is that the value of this item become holy, and the item will essentially be sold, and with that money, the Beis HaMikdash will be able to receive that which it needs to keep its functions going. So something which is not going to be used itself as part of the service is that has kedushas domim, which means that its value, so to speak, is holy, but it is not intrinsically holy. And something like this certainly can be redeemed, and the entire purpose is that it be redeemed, meaning the holiness be transferred onto money, and that money be spent on things which the Beis HaMikdosh requires. Now, there are cases where something which had kedushas haguf, it was intrinsically holy, for example, an animal which was designated to be brought as a korban. But when the animal becomes invalid, for example, if a wound develops on the animal, it can no longer be brought as a korban. And from that point onwards, just like something which only has monetary holiness, but is not intrinsically holy, it can be redeemed. So too, this animal which has developed a wound can now be redeemed because it can't be bought as a korban. And there is a difference between something which was all along Kedushas Domim, that it never had intrinsic holiness, and from the beginning could be redeemed, to something which was intrinsically holy, just it now became invalidated, and therefore it now can be redeemed. And the difference is that this is still considered to have a certain level of intrinsic holiness on the item itself, and that is the purpose of this Mishnah, to show us which practical differences that lower level of intrinsic holiness makes. Kol HaKodshim, any sacrifices, any animals designated to be brought as a korban, shekodamum kavua lekdeishon, that had a wound which was permanent already before the person designated it to be brought as a korban. The truth is it happens to be forbidden to designate a animal which has a wound, but nevertheless the person did it, and since from the beginning it was not fit to be brought as a korban, so it only ever gained Kedushas Domim, a monetary holiness, but it was not intrinsically holy itself, v'niftu, and then it was redeemed. Once it has been redeemed, it is viewed as a regular non-holy animal, without any holiness to it, and because of that, chayavim ba'b'chayra, it would be liable in the mitzvah of giving the firstborn, meaning if the animal gives birth, the firstborn animal which comes out of that animal would need to be given to a kohen, just like the firstborn of any non-holy animal, uva matonis. If one slaughters this animal, he would be obligated to give the zeroya l'chayim v'keva, the front leg, jaws, and stomach, to a kohen, like we learned in the previous Mishnah, that only applies to a non-holy animal, v'yotzen l'chodin l'hegozizu l'he'aved, and it's considered to be unholy also regarding shearing it and working it. One is allowed to do whatever he likes with this. It hasn't got any holiness to it. And any children of this animal and any milk is totally permitted to benefit from after the animal has been redeemed. And one who slaughters it outside of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard, even if he does so for the sake of bringing it as a korban, since the status of this animal is a totally non-holy animal, he would not be liable, potter, he would be exempt from koris, which is the severe punishment of being, so to speak, cut off from Hashem, and that is given to somebody who slaughters and offers up a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But again, that only applies to something which has somewhat of a holy status. Ve'enos in tamura, the law of tamura would not apply over here. Tamura is when one has a animal which was designated to be brought as a korban, and he says that I want a different animal to be brought as that korban instead of the first animal. The law of Tamura states that both animals would now be holy and would need to be brought as a korban. That only applies if he was talking about an animal which was already designated as a korban, but over here it's not, it has no holiness whatsoever. Alright, now says the Mishnah, v'imesu, if these animals, let's say one designated a korban which had a permanent wound, so it only ever gained monetary holiness, and before it was redeemed, it died. The law is that now that it has died, yepotu, it should be redeemed in order to remove the holiness, or the monetary holiness, from that dead animal, and then the money would be used for other things, which the Beis HaMikdash requires. I'm going to see this as unlike something which has intrinsic holiness, or at some point it did have a high level of holiness. In that case, it's considered to be a disgrace to redeem it in order to feed this dead animal to the dogs. What are they going to do with this dead animal once they remove the holiness from it? They can't eat it because it didn't receive a proper slaughtering. They're going to feed it to the dogs. So essentially, they're redeeming it in order to feed this meat to the dogs. And if the animal would have had intrinsic holiness, then this would be considered to be a disgrace. However, since we're talking about something which has no holiness whatsoever, it can be redeemed and then fed to the dogs. Chutz min ha'bechorim min ha'maiser, except for a firstborn animal or maiser behema, which is a tenth of one's animals which are born each year, which he needs to separate and bring as a korban. These two items, even when they have got a wound, it is learnt from Psukim already that they still are considered to be holy. And therefore, everything in this list, which we stated based on the fact that there is no holiness, would not apply to a firstborn animal or a maiser behema, a tenth of one's animals which were separated to be brought as a korban. On the other hand, says the Mishnah, kol shekodem ekdeishon es mumon, any case where the animal was designated to the Beis HaMikdash before it developed a wound, or it was designated to the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon whilst it had a temporary wound. Such an animal would become intrinsically holy because it will be able to be bought as a carbon. And only after that, the animal developed a permanent wound which made it invalid to be bought as a carbon, and only at that point, v'niftu, it is able to be redeemed, and indeed it was redeemed. So once the animal has been redeemed, there is nevertheless a remnant of holiness left on that animal, and because of that, all of the differences which we mentioned until now would apply in this case. There would be no obligation to give the firstborn, which is born from that animal, to a koyein. One would also not need to give the gifts of the zrei lochayim v'keva, the front leg, the jaws, and the stomach, to a koyein when he slaughters this animal. It's not considered to be a totally unholy animal, and it does not become unholy regarding the acts of shearing it or working the animal. Those things cannot be done. And any children or milk which comes out of that animal are forbidden, even if they come out of the animal after the animal was redeemed. It has holiness, one can't just benefit from it for his own sake. One who slaughters such an animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon would be liable to the severe punishment of Kores, being cut off from Hashem, so to speak, for bringing a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The truth is, the Gemara says that this would only be in a particular case where the wound is very small, such that according to one opinion, it is still technically fit to be bought as a carbon. And this is because if it's talking about a proper wound, which would totally invalidate it from being bought as a carbon, then one wouldn't actually be liable for slaughtering it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, since that only applies to a animal which could have been bought in the Beis HaMikdash. Be as it may, Vaisen Tamura, the law of Tamura would apply when one states that he wants a different animal to be bought as a carbon instead of the one that he originally designated. The law is that they would both become holy and they would both need to be bought as a carbon, or in this case only the second one, since the first one has a wound, and if the animal dies before it was redeemed, once it developed a wound, it needs to be buried. In this case, it cannot be redeemed because it's considered to be a disgrace to redeem this dead animal which has some holiness to it, only in order to feed the animal to the dogs. Mishnah Gimel, it was taught in the previous Mishnah that a firstborn animal, even when it has a wound, is considered to be somewhat holy, and as such, a firstborn animal is always going to be exempt from the matonis, the zrei lochayim v'keva, front leg, jaws, and stomach, which is the focus of this perek. And the Mishnah talks of a case where there is a bechor, a firstborn animal, which had already been given to a koyein, but it has a wound on it, and the koyein then gave it to a regular person, Yisrael. Either he sold it to him or he gave it as a gift. The point is, there is certainly no mitzvah to give this animal now to a koyein. But the Mishnah is going to focus on the part of the matonis. The firstborn is exempt from the matonis, but what happens if b'choshnus arav b'meya, this firstborn animal gets mixed up with 100 other animals belonging to this person, and those other 100 animals are obligated in the matonis? They do need to be separated from the other animals when they are slaughtered to be given to a koyein, but one out of all of these animals is exempt. So the Mishnah says, "Bizman she'me'a shechten es kulon," in a case where 100 different people slaughter the different animals. For example, this person sells each animal to a different person, and that person takes it home and he slaughters the animal. Each one of those animals is possibly a bechor. It's possibly a firstborn animal which is exempt from giving the gifts to a koyein, even though the chances are, if you look at each animal separately, there's a vast majority chance that he is obligated to give the gifts. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, "Pojnes kulon," this exempts all of the animals. The rule in general in monetary doubts is that hamitz mechaver olav haraya, if somebody wants to take something from somebody else, he needs to bring a proof that he's entitled to it. And we don't go after the majority, and since the kohen is unable to prove to any single buyer that he is not the one who is exempt from giving him the matonis, so all of them would be exempt. However, echot shechet es kulon, if one person, for example, the one who received this firstborn animal from the koyein, he is slaughtering all of the animals, so now, in whatever happens, he's obligated to give him matonis from all of the animals except for one, and therefore, potin le'echod, he would be exempt from giving matonis from one of the animals, but the rest of them would require matonis to be separated and given to a kohen. Now, as we've already seen really in the first half of this Mishnah, this right of the kohanim to these parts of the animal's body is considered to be a real monetary right. And we view it somewhat as if it already belongs to the kohen, or to the tribe of kohanim, so much so that it's learned from Pesukim that a kohen is able to go to the one slaughtering an animal for its owner, and take these parts of the animal from the slaughterer, without waiting for them to be given to him by the owner himself. Now, it's learned from Pesukim that a kohen, or a non-Jew, who slaughters an animal, they are exempt from giving these parts of the animal to a kohen. And by extension, the kohen has not got any monetary right over these parts of their animals. And therefore, Shechet LaKohen VeLaNochri, if somebody is slaughtering a animal for the sake of a kohen, who is the owner, or for the sake of a non-Jewish owner, Potum and Amatonais, the animal has not got an obligation of giving these matonis, these gifts, to a kohen, and therefore the kohen cannot come to the slaughterer and claim these gifts. And somebody who has a joint ownership with either a kohen or a non-Jew on an animal, that would exempt the entire animal from the matonis. However, so that the member of the partnership who is really supposed to be obligated in giving matonis, so that people don't come to suspect him of just stealing them and taking them for himself, so Yerushalayim, he needs to make a mark on these animals, which he has a partnership with the other person, in order that it be clear that he's not just ignoring the obligation of giving these matonis to a kohen, but there's a reason for it. Now, if a kohen sells an animal to a Yisrael, a regular Jew, Vim Omar, and he says, Chutz min ha-matonis, I'm selling you the animal except for the part of the animal which is the matonis. The Jew is obviously exempt from giving the matonis, and this means that another kohen is not able to come and claim these matonis for himself. Rather, it will go to the original kohen owner. Omar, what happens if somebody says to another regular Yisrael, Mechorli b'nei me'echol shel pora, sell me various parts of the inside of a cow which you have slaughtered, and within these inner parts of the animal, this includes the matonis, the front leg or the jaws, or more likely to be the keva. We're actually really specifically referring to the keva over here, the stomach. The one who buys it is obligated to nosel lakoyin, to give it to a kohen, ve'inan menakalam min hadomim, and he can't go back to the person who sold him this part of the animal and demand a refund for that part of the animal which he had to give to a kohen, because it's a known fact that this part of the animal goes to a kohen, and he knew that at the time that he bought that part of the animal. So he knew that the price which was set for the rest of the animal, not including the matonis. However, lokaronim mishkol, if he bought from him this part of the animal based on weight, so now they're essentially agreeing that for every added weight which I'm buying from you, I'm paying more money. Now the money which he paid him included paying money for this part of the animal. So one thing's for sure, that Nosan Lakoyen has to give those matonis to a kohen. The kohen has the rights to them. But the kohen always had the rights to them. And essentially, the person who sold even the matonis to the other person, it's as if he was selling a stolen item which didn't belong to him. And therefore, in this case, Unaklon Hadomim, he would need to refund him for that amount of money which he paid, corresponding to the amount of the matonis.